singing in German and English since I was 6 years old. Was a professional for a while, sang opera for a while, and then I ended up in a coma and had heart failure, lung failure, and kidney failure. When I came out of that month-long process, the doctor said, you'll never sing again. So if anyone's having any medical issues, I just want you to remember that physician told me I would never sing again. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures, His will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. His grace abounds, I'm free to choose the earthly path I run. Free will and love I shan't refuse until the day we're one.
That was awesome, thank you. There must be something spiritual about opera, because I never met opera people. Now we have two professional opera singers here. That's weird, isn't it? Come on. Anyway, it's my great pleasure to present our speaker for today, our very own Reverend Connie Beth Grotti.
Thank you. Well, the first thing I want to say is thank you so much. And the second thing I want to let you know is he wrote that last verse a few minutes ago downstairs. So we're so honored. And talking about visualization and miracle moments, how long have we visualized for musical people to come? Because without music, it's kind of lacking. Do you realize how many weeks in a row now? We've had Alonza, we've had Joanne Napoli, we've had and Bonnie and Rada, excuse me, you get up here, you don't even remember your own family's name. And now we have John, and his name really is John Mathis. So we can call him Johnny Mathis if we want to. So what a blessing. What a blessing it is. It's a dream come true, really. Because, honestly, music allows us to get out of whatever it is, our longings to, in the negative way, when we're longing for something else. How many times have we heard music and it lifted us inspirationally? How many times? I can't imagine life without music. And we have several people here who write music too. So, more to come, I'm just sure. Well, I was thinking, this is the fourth week of the 4th of July, and we should celebrate in some way. And I was thinking the 4th of July stands for freedom. It stands for all kinds of things. And we celebrate. And we have fun. And we honor those military people who we don't know, and those who have been in our family, and those who have gone on. And we say, thank you. Thank you for what you have given us. Thank you. And then, as all generations do, we come into a part of our life where we wonder. We wonder about freedom anymore. And we start looking out there. And we start walking in fear instead of walking in love. I know metaphysically we know and we understand that if you're not walking in love, you're probably walking in fear. And we keep repeating the same things over and over again. I was just telling Reverend Scott before, I know better. I should do better. But once in a while, it will hit me. And sometimes it might hit me good. It might hit me great. But usually it's music or reading something that brings me out of that fear of that lower vibration into who I was meant to be. Now, I used to be in quality control for General Motors. And I was in a meeting with the top CEO. And I never will forget what he said. Now, some of you, I want you to know, everybody in this room, General Motors comes first. Now, God or family, that's up to you whether it comes second. But General Motors comes first. I thought, oh boy, we are really in trouble. We are really in trouble. And as you can say, you can tell, General Motors has been in trouble, but, you know, that person's long gone. But I talk to people in my past that don't quite understand metaphysics. I talk to people on the street. Some people are waking up and just kind of open to it. But there are people that identify, instead of positive, they identify their life as being negative. And I have to say, I think the biggest mistake religion has made is that we're born in sin and we're no good. And so immediately everybody has that connotation. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I have children, I have grandchildren, and I have great-grandchildren, and they are born in bliss. It's when they develop that ego is when you begin to wonder. And that's, you know, if any of you have children, we all think ours should be perfect, but they're here to learn life too. But I have found out, and I know for a fact, I've been taught this, I've been told this, but, you know, to find out metaphysics, you have to put it into practice. You have to live it. But one thing I know, no matter what country you live in, whether it's free or it's not, if you're not at peace with yourself, if you haven't found that love energy within yourself, if you haven't satisfied the negative part of you and realize there's only one of you. This God, this universe has made only one of you for a reason. If you can't begin to get to there and discover that God's on the inside, then you're not free. You're still trying to fit in to that earthly vibration that we were never meant to fit into anyway. Now, my feeling of Adam and Eve is a parable, and it's a parable of that first man and woman, perhaps, the first life, human life, came with everything. They came with everything, palatial, beauty, water, as we know, apples, that little tempt. But, you know, they weren't satisfied. That's when we first forgot who we were and decided we wanted to get into that earth vibration. Now, speaking of children, if you've been around children, have you ever been around them when they've done something wrong and you walk in? What's the first thing they do? They want to hide it. Like they think you can't see it. Well, isn't that the story of Adam and Eve? They realized that they had gone out in a different direction, and they didn't want to admit it. In all of these centuries ago, the story was told. And still today, we are here on this earth plane, and we do not understand who we are. We have come here to learn, to turn away from fear, and to go into love, and to realize that if we are unhappy with ourselves, it's because we're looking out there. Something out there we feel is making us unhappy. It's never out there. It's always in here. How many times have you looked at somebody, or you know people that look at somebody, if you don't want to admit it yourself, I can admit it. And you look out there and you go, I don't like them. 9 times out of 10, you don't like them because it's a reflection of something you need to work on yourself. You're seeing a reflection of something negative. This life is nothing but roadmaps and puzzles that we put together. And another thing that we do is, oh, they hurt my feelings. Oh, this has happened to me. As long as we cater to those hurt feelings, let me tell you, if you're sitting in this church today, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, you're on a spiritual path or you wouldn't be here. And one thing that we need to learn about the spiritual path is everything is going to hit us so that we can learn our lessons. One thing is, you know, I've been in traditional religions. I've known people everywhere that I've gone. They get their hurt feelings and out the door they go. You know, we're bigger than that. We're greater than that. Do you want to cow down the rest of your life just because you had a hurt feeling? We're better than that. Hold on. The universe is testing us because that's what we want. Spirit says we're really testing ourselves. But if we want to get rid of the negative, if we want to walk from that little tiny I'm not good enough into somebody that's successful and confident and happy, we have to let go of those things. We have to realize, so what? It might not ever be your way for a long time. So what? But what you do with it in the meantime is your life before long. I've been working on myself for years. I've been working on myself basically since 1969. And I can tell you, I've probably experienced about anything and everything a human can experience on this earth plane. And I can remember when I first started, my kids were little, and my daughter sitting right there, my oldest daughter, I'd drive around and I would start analyzing myself. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? I'm going to do this. You know, purging those things. Well, it's great to purge the things if you get rid of them. But if you hang on to them year after year after year, that begins to be your identity. That's who you are. And that's what continues to come into your life. Now, I don't know that anybody has ever been successful at accomplishing anything, whether they're an author or whatever, anything positive, as long as they're poor, pitiful me. Because you don't get in that vibration to get those inspirational thoughts to create. You don't get into that dynamics where you can write these beautiful things. We are here for self-culture. And self-culture means, and self-culture on the spiritual path, self-culture means cultivating the positive and turning over like a plowshare those negative things, though, and looking at them and understanding where they came from and being able to release them so that you can go on. I was talking to a friend that I went to high school with just a few days ago. And I tried to explain, you have to let go, because not only do you identify with certain things, everybody around identifies you with the label that you have created for yourself. Haven't you all known people like that? It's like everything is negative. Everything is negative. And you try and you try, but nothing helps. Let me tell you something. Until we knock at that door of ourselves and are quiet enough to listen, that's the first time that you're able to hear that still, small voice within that smoke spoken about so lovingly in the Bible. That still small voice within. Which reminds me of a beautiful poem, I wish I had it right now, that my teacher used to recite once in a while. Is it Invictus? I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. That's what we're here for. And you know, your fate and your soul, my, is only your path. You're the only one that has that. Nobody else. We're here sharing our togetherness. We're here sharing what in common we have. But each one of us is an individual made to be individuals so that you can understand your vision of where you've come from and where you want to go. We weren't put here to all of a sudden have everything lovely and to never have any problems. Any of you who have ever gone back to a class reunion, you soon can see the ones that have never had any problems. Primarily, they're kind of still in that stage where they're playing with dolls. There's no substance. So realize, life, if you've got a life of hard knocks, someday you'll thank God for that. Because it creates a pattern of, if you're living your, what you say your faith is. And if you're living it, and your understanding is that it's truth because you have put it into practice, you know that to do anything other than that is spiritual suicide. That's what I used to say. Dern, I can't even give up. We probably have all felt that way from time to time. But I want to do the best that I can do in creating the best, the knowledge, so that you can create the best that you can do, that you can have accomplished life. And to have accomplished life, look at the people that you admire. It wasn't easy. It was not easy. So, when you think about today, and you think about freedom, and you think about the 4th of July, stand up for those principles that you want most. Stand up internally for wanting to be a better person. And those little hurts aren't going to bother you. you know what? We all have a choice. I know I've been working on myself for so long. I don't know why. I must be a hard learner because it still comes around. And it will come until you get it mastered. And there will be a little. And at that moment, somebody might have said something that might hurt your feelings, something you don't like, something you don't agree with. You've got a split second. You can either take it personal or stand there and send them with love. I know Spirit used to say, just stand and smile. Nobody can do anything about that. If someone is doing something to you and you're just standing there and smiling, they don't know what to do. They suddenly stop and go on. But if we aren't where we want to be yet, and that ego is perked up just a little bit, then we're going to snap back. But we've got a chance not to. We're here to become enlightened. We're here to overcome the negative so that we can find our strength, so we can find the beauty within us. There used to be an old hymn, Lucy, what is it? Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. It's a beautiful song. Let that beauty of that Christ consciousness be seen in you. But to get there, you don't get to say, Dear Jesus, I want this. Please, God, I'm asking for this. You can't ask that without doing your part. That's the difference. God bless you.